Amen. Luke 24:49 says, "And behold," is Jesus speaking, "I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry," everybody say tarry. Wait. The word means to wait. "Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued," or "ye be endued with power from on high." Tarry until you are endued with power. This is not a dude with power. This is you are given power. He's going to give to you power if you tarry. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus was telling his disciples. Amen. I want to preach for just a little while, as long as the Lord will help us tonight, to you tonight on this subject, tarrying until. Amen. Let's lay down our Bibles and let's ask the Lord to speak to each of our hearts. Amen. Respectively, as the Lord would speak to us. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence that's in this house tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've already done. Hallelujah, Jesus. Go ahead and magnify the Lord with me tonight. Hallelujah, he's been good to us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What great things would God bestow upon us? What does God have in store for us? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, amen. You could be seated tonight. Amen. Thank you for standing in honor of the word of the Lord. Thank you for worshiping in the presence of the Lord. Thankful to be a part of this church. Amen. It is truly, I'm not just saying that, I mean it. It truly is a blessing to be a part of this church. Amen. I want to briefly begin by looking at this word, tarry. And I mean that. It will be brief. I just want to provide you the definition, and then we can get hopefully to where I believe the Lord wants to take us tonight. But the word tarry that Jesus uses, Old English, where Jesus did not use the word tarry, that was King James' interpretation of it. The word that Jesus likely uses, kathizo, like baptizo, but with kath in the front of it. Kathizo. And that word means to sit down, which is what you all just did. You all are tarrying. To sit down. To set. Or to make an appointment. To, it is the equivalent to have fixed one's home or their abode. To sojourn or to settle into. You may have heard this story about Abraham, how he sojourned through this land and through that land. Well, what he was doing was he was tarrying. He set up his tent, and they took up residence there for a period of time. That's where he would set for a prolonged period of time. He would set up his tent, and that's where his family would dwell, and he lived there. So when you buy a home, when you settle into a home, the term that I think that would be most common with this word in today's vernacular is to settle down. We talk about a young man who needs to settle down. Many of you probably think that about me. He just needs to settle down. No, not in that sense. I'm talking about to settle down in terms of putting together a family and to build a home and all of that. That's what this word means in the original. And Jesus told the disciples that you go to Jerusalem and settle down. Tarry. Tarry until a certain condition is met. And I want to talk about this tonight. Tarrying until. I believe that God has specifically, particularly this church, in a state of tarrying, in a state of waiting, if you will, settling down until something, whatever it is that God has for us. And I think this can be true at an individual level, but I also believe firmly with every ounce of my being that this is true for this church as a whole. That when the Lord is ready, amen, he will give to us a promise, the fulfillment of his promises, amen. But what he's asking for us to do is to tarry. To tarry. When you want an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, Jesus told the disciples for the first time, you got to wait. You got to wait. If you want this gift, this promise that I've got for you, you go to Jerusalem and tarry. Now, it's easy for us in this period of time, perhaps if we're longing as a young lady or a young man longing for marriage, and we're tarrying, we're waiting for that time that we run into the love of our life with those dreamy eyes and that perfect tan and that curly hair, whatever it is. We're just waiting and waiting. If we're in that state of mind, we can grow mopey. We can grow tired of waiting, right? Same is true for a church who's waiting for a period of time that the Lord has promised to them. Amen. That we grow mopey and say, hey, I've heard this one before. It gets this is getting tiresome. I've heard this over and over and over and over. Let me preach to you tonight, church. Amen. And I preach it to those of you who are waiting on a loved one too. Amen. For your future. Let me tell you the good things that God has in store for this church are on the other side of tarrying. What do I mean by tarrying? Well, let me try to explain. Amen. I'm going to do my best tonight. There's an English proverb that, as best as I can tell, is attributed to a British author known as Violet Fane, also known as Mary Montgomery Curry. And these are her words. She said, all hoped for things will come to you who have the strength to watch and wait. Our longings spur the steeds of fate. This has been said by one who knew. I'm going to read that again because I want to make sure you got it. She's speaking almost a foreign. This is English, I promise. All hoped for things will come to you who have the strength to watch and wait. Our longings spur the steeds of fate. This has been said by one who knew. Going on, that was the first stanza. The second stanza of this little proverb is all things come to those who wait. I say these words to make me glad, but something answers soft and sad. They come, but often come too late. And while these final words of Violet's proverb here ends on a somber note, I want to grasp onto that first stanza that I read twice. She said, all hoped for things will come to you. All hoped for things will come to you who have the strength to watch and to wait. You see, tarrying is not just moping around and just in a low state, waiting for that to come, doing nothing, not making any better. But tarrying is a specific term that means to do something while you are waiting. I mean, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 25, if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Amen. It's clear that if we truly believe in what we are promised or what we are waiting for, then that gives us enough strength to wait a little while longer. If you believe it, if there's hope for it, if you have confidence in the one who promised it to you. Hallelujah. If there's genuine hope, are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? I mean, if you really, really, really believe it, it gives you strength to wait a little bit longer. But Brother Brody, amen, when we start growing impatient, is in those days when we start stopping to believe. When we lose that hope. When we lose that confidence. When we say, I've heard this one before. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, amen, his promises are yea and amen. And in him are true. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When our hope begins to fade, when our faith in what is to come begins to be lost, then we begin to grow impatient. Isaiah 30, verse 18 tells us this, and therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. The Lord is waiting on us. He may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all that wait for him. Amen. If we wait for the Lord according to his will, I believe that what we believe, whatever it is, as long as it's in accordance with his will come to pass. As long as we are tarrying, as long as we are waiting according to his will. What do I mean by that? You're adding all kinds of qualifications. Well, let me try to help. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 through 3 says, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it." Before we go to the next verse, let me just stop and say, amen, that the Lord is trying to communicate to us that whatever it is that we're waiting for, whatever it is that is our hope and that is our vision, you better make it clear so that you don't forget what it is that you are waiting on. Hallelujah. Amen. Time and circumstance can cause situations and scenarios to become so muddled in our own minds. And we lose hope for this very reason, that we don't even remember what was promised to us in the first place. If God's given to you a promise, friend, write it down. Make it clear upon the tables. So when you wake up in the morning and when you go to bed at night, you never forget what thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. You've got a reason to hope, my friend. If it's a word from God, you've got a reason to hope. Verse 3 goes on to say, "For this vision is yet for an appointed time." That's important. That means if the time is not now, then guess what I got to do? You're getting it. If the time is not yet appointed, then friend, you got to wait. You got to wait until the appointed time. It's coming, but you got to wait for it. Hallelujah. But at the end, now that the appointed time is coming, the Bible tells us, at the end it shall speak and it shall not lie. The thing that you wrote down so clearly, if it was a word from God, if it was God's vision for you, it's not going to come through as a lie. It's going to speak boldly and clearly. There's not going to be any confusion. Hallelujah. And though it tarry now, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. When it comes, you have no longer to wait. You don't have to wait any longer at all. Hallelujah. So you might be in a tarrying state tonight. I believe this church is. I said that at the top. Amen. Tonight. Amen. But there's coming an appointed time. There's coming a time that your waiting is going to cease. There's coming a time. Amen. I feel this in the Holy Ghost right now. Amen. For some of you, you've been waiting and waiting. You've been praying. Amen. And that time is coming. Hallelujah. Amen. There's blessings while you're waiting. Let me just read through some of this as I get to where I'm going. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 22 says, "Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord." Amen. If in the time during the waiting period, while you're waiting on the Lord, evil befalls you, amen, don't try to revenge that evil. Just continue waiting, because he will save you. Psalms 27:14, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Psalm 37:34, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way." Keep his way. Keep his way. While you're waiting, keep his way. Amen. Don't deviate to the left. Don't deviate to the right. Keep going the way that he showed you. "And he shall exalt thee and inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it." You want revenge? It's coming. On the other side of Terry. This ought to make somebody happy. This ought to make somebody full of joy. I'm not waiting for no reason at all. I've got a promise. I've got a vision. I'm going to make it clear. There was somebody I heard recently, this is not in my notes, I'm just going to mention the name, But somebody, they believe the Lord spoke to them this year. They wrote down on a card or somewhere, amen, what it was that God is going to do for them, amen, before the end of this year. Amen, that's exactly what the scripture teaches us to do. Amen, and that's given them a hope to sustain them throughout this year. I want you to know, amen, that if you've got a vision, if God spoke it, amen, if God spoke it to you, you better write it down. Hallelujah. And wait. It's in this waiting period that the enemy tries to come in and push you off your balance and say that it ain't worth the wait. It ain't worth the time. It ain't worth the investment. You better just stop. Hallelujah. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. Yes, it is. Isaiah 40:31, we can quote this one, says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. We're blessed when we're waiting. Amen. He said, Brother Hilton, you're going to explain to me what waiting is. I'm getting there. I'm just giving you reasons to wait, okay? Just wait. I like that, Brother. I'm glad I waited. Okay, anyway. Tarrying does not just mean to sit idly by and wait for it to come to you. That's not what it means. Jesus, when he told the disciples to tarry, he said, go. That doesn't sound like waiting. Go to Jerusalem. And tarry there. Wait for the promise. You need to be doing something while you wait. This is a scriptural principle. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 17 tells us how to wait. Isaiah says this, I will wait upon the Lord. How? How, Isaiah? How will we wait upon the Lord that hideth his faith from the house of Israel? And I will look for him. What? You said you're waiting, but now you're looking. Yes, friend, you can look while you're waiting. You can look while you're waiting. Scripture, amen, this scripture may on its face seem self-contradictory, amen, but I want to pose to you what I believe that the prophet is telling us, amen, that while we are waiting on the Lord, it requires something of us, amen, that it's not truly tarrying if we do nothing and sit in our corner and pout, amen, and just mope around, but if we are actively searching out, amen, his spirit, his purpose and his will. Jesus taught this to his disciples in Matthew 26 verse 41. He said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I don't want you just watching, boys. I want you to be praying. I don't want you just kicking back in the lazy boy. I want you to be praying. I want you to be looking. I want you to be going after something. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me tonight? Amen. Why did Jesus say that? He said that you enter not into temptation. Amen. This is the moment in the waiting, in the wings. Amen. When nobody's watching, when nobody's looking, I feel like I'm preaching to somebody tonight. Amen. While you are waiting, that's when temptation comes. Amen. Watching and praying while you're waiting. Me and my wife, took a long time for us to get married. I was talking to somebody this afternoon about this. Took us a long time. I mean, probably why I was thinking of this story whenever I was preparing here tonight. Took us 5 years to get married. Half of that was my fault, so I take the blame. But there were some, Sister Bonnie, came and, why are you waiting? My pastor even called me one day. He said, are you sure you want to wait? This was a few months after, so it wasn't too long. As soon as I told him I was sure, though, he was 100% behind it. He said, are you sure you want to wait? Yes. I want to wait. But you know, I want to, I'm not patting myself on the back, but I want you to understand that I did not just wait in my parents' house, sitting on the couch, doing nothing. I was living at their house. But while I was waiting, there was a specific transition in my own life. Bishop told me, and I honestly, I didn't believe him. He told me, he said, treat your business like a ministry, and God's going to bless it. And I'm like, what in the who nanny nonsense is this? I didn't say that to him. I was like, how do you treat a business as a ministry? But I said, Lord, I don't know exactly how to do this, but I'm going to do my best. And wouldn't you know, just literally 2 or 3 months after that conversation, a young preacher in another church called me up and said, hey, I need a job. Do you feel like I can work for you? And I said, well, we'll see. And so we figured it out, and that worked out. So he started working for me in our sales department. And then another preacher came through here. He actually was pastoring down in Gardner. And he stopped pastoring, started evangelizing for a period of time. Then we ran into COVID. And then that pastor needed a job. And so I was able to give him a job and train him. And all these guys, man, I'm getting good salaries because these guys have zero experience. So all these guys that get paid next to nothing, and now they're workforce. But it worked out for them too, because that helped Brother Merriman move down to Mississippi, and he was able to work for me during that time. And it was amazing how that unfolded, because it worked just during the time where he was here for a short period of time, and then he made the move down to Mississippi, and then he found another job down there. It was amazing. It worked out perfectly. And then the Lord started opening my eyes. Did you see this? And then another young preacher from Tulsa needed a job, and he was not so cheap, but because he had experience. But he came and worked for me, and he was a tremendous blessing to my business, and he was amazing in that capacity. And I learned how a business can be used as a ministry in the ministry, supporting the ministry in that way, also around this church. The Lord allowed it to be a blessing here. Amen. I wish it was still going. So, but anyway, we're going to move on past that. Now I'm waiting for the next button. No, I'm just kidding. But so during that time, it wasn't just the business, though. It was also during that time where I deepened my own understanding of the Word of God. I started studying the Word of God so much. I was reading the Bible. My personal challenge, I'm not patting myself on the back, I'm just telling you what happened. During that time of waiting, I started reading the Bible 3 times a day. I imagine that's what Daniel must have done after his prayer meeting. So that's what I was doing after my prayer meeting. I started praying and reading my Bible 3 times a day, seeking the face of God. And I can tell you, friend, that it was a time of not just sitting by, but I was going deeper and deeper and deeper in God. I've never been so close to God in my life during that period of time. When I was waiting on something, when I was so heartbroken, when my world had been destroyed, all my plans had been pushed aside. Amen. But I learned in that period of my life for about 1.5 to 2 years to tarry. I got so sick and tired of Brother Nelson coming off the platform and praying with me on this front pew. But the Lord knew that's what I needed. And guess what? Every single time that I had my wall up and my resistance up, amen, the Lord knew how, just so tenderly, to tear that wall down and to get to my heart. And I want to challenge somebody in this house tonight, this church as a whole, to take this time. Oh, I feel this so strongly. Can we talk to the Lord right now? Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost that I feel right now. God, I'm asking you to impart this into this congregation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Friend, you might think you're just waiting. You're on the sidelines. And while that may be the case, in reality, this is an opportunity for you to tarry, not just wait, not just sit on the sidelines, but dig a little deeper, go a little further. Amen. Get a little more gas in your spiritual tank. Amen. And see what God can do. imagined that in 2026 I would be pastoring this church. I never would have imagined, amen, but it was all, amen, in that moment of waiting, of tarrying until something changes. I'm telling you, it could take 1 year, it could take 2 years, it could take 3 years, but friend, don't stop tarrying. Jesus said, amen, again to those followers of his, Luke 19:11, as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. I want you to note the mindset of the Jews of Jesus' day. When they expected a Messiah to come, they expected an immediate kingdom to be established. But when Jesus showed up, he said, wait, not ready yet. I want you, oh, I feel like preaching right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to hear, amen, what this preacher's telling you. Amen. If you can get a revelation of while you're waiting, amen, so much fruitfulness can be given. Amen. You feel like you're barren, but friend, you're just tarrying. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But Jesus, in this mindset, talking to a bunch of Jews, they said, hey, where's the kingdom? He said, therefore, a parable to them. He said, verse 12, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive himself a kingdom and to return. He called his 10 servants. Jesus had 12. But in this parable, he's using 10. He called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, one apiece, and said, occupy until I come. Jesus, in response to their question, what are we waiting on? Why isn't the kingdom here yet? Well, let's put it in your vernacular. Why don't we have revival yet? Where are the souls? Well, if you're not paying attention, look around. God's doing great things. Hallelujah. We got somewhat to do in this period. Amen. While the fruit, amen, is in the ground, while the seed is germinated, we need to occupy till he comes. Hallelujah. The word occupy means to carry on about your business. You can look that up in Thayer's Greek lexicon. It means to carry on, amen, the business. Keep on about the king's business. When Jesus, amen, was asked by his parents, where are you at? He responded to them and said, don't you know I must be about my father's business? Jesus set the example early in his life. He said, I've got business to take care of. I'm not going to be kicking around. I'm not going to be, amen, just doing whatever. I've got somewhat to do. I've got somewhere to go. He continues this parable in verse 15. It came to pass that when he was returned, this is the king, the nobleman that came back. He came back to receive his kingdom. Then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. These are good pounds. Everybody going to the Christmas season, worried about gaining 10 pounds. Anyway, go back to the Bible. He said, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Verse 17. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. 18 goes on and says, the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. Another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound. I was on a diet. Okay, not funny? Fine, let's move on. Here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. You're a strict man. You're down to business. No nonsense kind of guy. Because thou art an austere man, thou takest up that thou layest not down. and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto him, and said unto them that stood by, take from him that pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. Verse 26, for I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. This is an important principle, and I think it applies to today's church world. When God has given, he's talking to his disciples, when he's getting ready to leave, and he's saying, hey boys, I'm going to give to you this responsibility, this pound. It represented what God had given to the disciples. And he said, when I come back to receive my kingdom unto myself, when I come back, I am expecting a return on what I've given to you. Hallelujah. Church, amen, whatever God has given to you, I hope you've written it down. I hope the vision is clear. Amen. I hope, amen, that while you're in the waiting, you're not just waiting for him to come back, that you're not just hiding whatever it was that he gave to you, but that you're multiplying, that you're doing with what he has given to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got so much I could preach here. Amen. I don't have the time. I don't have the energy, amen, to communicate everything. Amen. But you can sit there, amen, with that 1 pound that God's given to you. Amen. That one investment. And you say, oh, I remember the good old days when God used to pour out his spirit. I remember the good old days. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I remember, amen, when they were speaking in tongues every other night. I remember when they had revival service every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And you can compare where you're sitting right now with where it was before. Amen. But let me tell you, take the pound that God's given you and invest it into this community. My God. Hallelujah. I see some where God has recently invested, and they're already doing more than some of you who has been sitting around for 20, 30. Hallelujah. What would happen if all 10 of the nobleman's servants took what God gave to him? Hallelujah. You might say, well, I don't want to step out of line. I don't want to go too far. That's exactly what that last servant sounded like. Oh, no. He's austere. I don't like the way he looked at me. Just going to fold it up in a napkin. Done. That's not what he wants. Some of you need to go find that drawer, crack it open, pull out what God gave to you. I'm talking about tarrying until. I'm talking about taking what God has given you, amen, and meeting the need of this hour. Do you realize? You realize how many. Do you understand the souls of men and women and children, amen, that are dependent on the pound that the nobleman gave to you? And yet you wait instead of tarry. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want to get to the end of the story where Jesus said, hey, wait for the promise of the Father till you endue the power from on high. Yes, that's a part of this. And yes, there are several out there that are waiting for exactly what has been given to you. Amen. But it's our responsibility, amen, to return to the nobleman, a kingdom who is not just anemic and stowed away and forgotten about, but that has grown and multiplied and met the need of the hour. Hallelujah. God is trusting you with that. God is trusting you with that. Church, I'm preaching to you. Amen. Come 2026. Amen. This is a great opportunity. Amen. To reset the clock. Amen. To make some new commitments. Amen. Not only to yourself or to Bishop or to me. Amen. But make them to God. I'm not just going to wait around. I'm not just going to mope around. I'm not going to look and say, woe is me. Hallelujah. I'm waiting for a promise. I've got something on my mind. I'm looking for something great. I'm looking for something great. I can't wait until the day when he comes home. I can't wait until I can show him. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. I'm closing. Acts 1 and 4 says, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not. Now, we read the first scripture in verse 24. He said, go to Jerusalem. Now he's saying, he's commanding to them, you should not depart from Jerusalem. Don't even think about it. Don't go nowhere. Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard. Let me skip down to verse 12. So what did they do? They didn't just go to Jerusalem and say, well, what do you think Jesus was talking about? Can you imagine? Break up a nano banana and start drawing up images of what it can be like. Wow. That's not what they did. First of all, they didn't have nano banana. If you don't know what nano banana is, I can enlighten you after service. Or Brother Josh can. But what did they do? They went to Jerusalem. Here's what they did. Acts 1 and 12 says, when they then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. So it took some time. Verse 13, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. How many of you can quote the 12 apostles? I can't. I wish I could. I can read them. Anyway, cool. Verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Guess what they were doing? They were tarrying. They were doing what Bishop was preaching about this morning. They were in personal communion with God. They weren't just waiting. They were tarrying. Tarrying until the promise came. Well, I left off a verse. Sister Lydia, how quick are you on the draw? Acts chapter 2. I've left off four verses, actually. 2 verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. After they were continuing, this wasn't just like one, now I lay me down to sleep. I got stirred up because the preacher was preaching to me. Prayer. But they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Verse 1 of chapter 2 says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. They didn't know they were waiting until the day of Pentecost to fully come. They just knew that they were tarrying. But when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and sat upon each of them, each of the ones who were willing to tarry. And, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh. I want that kind of church. I want that kind of service. I wonder how many are willing to tarry until that kind of service comes. Come on, that's it. That's the kind of spirit that I'm preaching about. Amen. That they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Why? Because they were not just sitting on the sidelines. They were not just waiting in silence, but they were tarrying. They were continuing in prayer and supplication. And then the Holy Ghost filled the house. Let's worship the Lord together. These altars are open. You do what you feel right now.